Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your word, that word that is always there to encourage, indeed even to challenge and to change us. But Lord, we pray that you would just encourage us through your word this morning, that in these days, the one thing that we can hold on to, the one thing that we can do above everything else, is that we can be trusting Jesus, trusting him to look after us, trusting him to care for us, trusting him to prepare that place in heaven for us, trusting him that our lives can be saved and transformed through his death on the cross. So Father God, in these moments this morning, we just pray that you would help us to forget about everything else, and that you'd allow us just to concentrate on you and your word to us this morning. Father God, come and speak to us, to speaker and to listener alike, that you would encourage us today through your word. For we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A man was a little bit fed up with life. He wanted a peaceful life without all of the trauma that went on around him. He wanted to find a place to live that life that was safe and was secure. So in 1980, a little while ago now, he began a detailed study and a bit of research to find the safest and most peaceful place in the world where he could live. At last, after 2 years of searching, he found that place and he went to live there, and it was bliss and it was wonderful. The only trouble was, 2 months after he settled in to this trouble-free paradise, this peaceful existence, the Falklands War broke out in his own backyard. There is nowhere in life that we can go that we will find peace and security. The only way to find that peace and that security is in trusting Jesus. And this is a message that Jesus brings to his disciples this morning. They're in the city of Jerusalem during the Passover season, and Jesus has given them that great example of loving one another and serving one another as he got down on his hands and his knees and he washed their feet. He's spoken of the fact that one of them is going to betray him in the coming hours, and these disciples simply cannot believe it. Their peaceful world has been turned upside down. In the midst of the evening, Judas left them to go out into the night. He is away to the religious leaders to get the soldiers and to bring them to Jesus in the garden later. The others do not know this yet, but they will soon. Jesus then gives them that wonderful command, as we thought of last week, that they were to love one another above everything else. Peter then tells Jesus he will never let him down. In fact, he would even lay down his life for him. And Jesus in turn shocks Peter by telling him that before the rooster crows in the morning, Peter will have denied him 3 times. The disciples are shocked. The disciples are confused. The disciples' lives are in turmoil. They have left everything to follow Jesus. And now it appears as if everything, to use terminology of the day, is about to go belly up. They have been looking for the perfect life. They have thought that they have found that in Jesus. But he's been talking about leaving them and dying. He has spoken of betrayal and of denial. He has upset the apple cart and shocked them all. And they are not sure what to do. And into that setting, Jesus comes with those remarkable words that Colin read for us from John 14 to inform the disciples to keep trusting him, trusting Jesus. And that message of comfort and hope is there for us today as well. We are to trust Jesus. For although he left this earth, he told his disciples that he was going to heaven, and he told them about all that lies in front for them as they have trusted him already by leaving their families, their homes and their jobs to follow him. So they are to keep trusting him, for he will not let them down. Easy for him to say, so much harder for the disciples to understand, to believe and to trust. But let us this morning be encouraged to keep trusting Jesus. We see firstly in these verses that the promise of heaven calms my fear. Jesus begins chapter 14 with those great and remarkable words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Jesus has sensed that the disciples' hearts are troubled. This word for troubled, tarazo, also means disturbed or stirred up. It's the same word that we've thought about in previous weeks as Jesus himself has spoken about being troubled and stirred up. In John 12 and 27, Jesus said, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say?" He is looking ahead and seeing his own death in front of him, and that, humanly speaking, troubled him greatly. Then in John 13 and 21, we learned that Jesus was troubled in spirit and said to them, testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Jesus was troubled by all that was going on, although he knew that it had to happen, and he accepted it as part of his heavenly Father's plan. Here he recognizes that his disciples are likewise troubled, disturbed, stirred up by anxiety. They're uncertain of what lies in front of them, and they're rightly worried and anxious. Would you not be as well? And so Jesus wants to calm those fears, as well as continuing to tell them what lies in front of them and the promises therein. He asks them to keep trusting in God and trusting in him. The word used there in Greek is pisteuo, which more rightly means believe. Believe in God. Believe in me. Believe what I am telling you. Keep trusting in me. It denotes a personal trust relationship. He is reminding them of who he is and what he has already done among them. The disciples have a relationship with Jesus. They have been together for 3 whole years now, living together, working together, witnessing together, sharing together. They know each other fairly well by now. And Jesus has worked amongst them, and he's never let them down. He is reminding them to keep believing in him, to keep trusting him. "What I'm telling you," he says, "is true and will happen. Do not fear. Do not be troubled. Keep trusting in me." He then goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many rooms," or maybe many mansions, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. The Greek term there is monai, which means dwelling places. So you can see that either word fits in there, whether it be rooms or mansions. It's a place for us to go and to dwell. They both conjure up vastly different images for us though, don't they? But don't be caught up in the lavish nature of what they're talking about. Just be reminded that Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there is plenty of space." There's plenty of space. Our dear sister Eva has gone to fill one of those spaces, to be in our dwelling place with our Lord and with our Saviour forever. So no matter how hard that is for us, no matter how hard that is for Kathy, and it is, there is the assurance there that she has gone to a better place, and she has the promise of heaven that calms our fears. And it's in this phrase, talking of heaven, that Jesus tries to calm their fears. The promise of heaven is there for them. Jesus said firstly that there was plenty space. He also says that if that was not the case, he would not have told them, for he was not in the business of lying to them. He was not in the business of deceiving them. He says, "Trust my words. I've never let you down. Calm down," Jesus says. "There is going to be a place prepared specifically for you. There will indeed be room for them all." And here is that added reassurance. Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, what will happen? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus lays the promise of heaven clearly for them. It is a good place. And more importantly, it's a place where Jesus himself is going to be. And being with Jesus is the most important thing for these 12 men who have been following him. They've followed him for these 3 years. They're worried that he's going to be leaving them. So Jesus' reassurance that one day he's coming back to take them to be with him, not just for a little while again, but to be with him forever, reassures them and helps calm their fears. And the promise of heaven should calm our fears as well. This is a troubled world in which we live. We often think it's out of control. It may seem that way, but friends, God is in control. He is bringing about his purposes to bear on earth. We will struggle and we will worry. And like the man at the beginning, we want to find a safe haven and a place of peace. The only place that will ever happen for us, though, is heaven. But the promise is that heaven lies in front of us for each and for everyone who have come to put their faith and their trust in Jesus. Well, we may struggle with what lies in front of us just now, but that is only a short term. The struggles of earth will disappear when we reach heaven and eternity to spend with our Saviour Jesus. The promise of heaven calms my fears, but it also confirms my future. The disciples were worried about what was going to happen. The future was becoming increasingly uncertain for them. Jesus had talked about leaving them. He has spoken of betrayal from within the ranks. He has even said that Peter, the rock, the steady one, was going to disown him and deny him. They thought that Jesus was going to be with them forever. They thought that their tight group of friends and colleagues would always stand together. Peter it was who had said in John 13:37, "I will lay down my life for you." He was going to be with Jesus always. He was going to stand with him. Indeed, he was even going to stand up for him. Nothing was going to stop him, even if it meant laying down his life to save him. But Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to let me down three times." And Peter was stunned and shocked by this, and so were the others. And so they were unsure now what was going to happen. They didn't know what lay ahead of them. They thought that they once did, but now they don't. And that in itself brings about that fear that Jesus has tried to calm. In the midst of their uncertainty, Jesus confirms their future for them. He speaks of going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them. And he tells them that that place is called heaven. It's God's home. It's God's dwelling. He assures them that where he is, they also will be. And if you need reminded of heaven, ask some of those kids afterwards about the bracelets they made at Kids Club this week. We had five colours, and the first colour was gold. Why gold? Because the streets of heaven, we read, are paved with gold. What a wonderful place to be, and that is our future. For Jesus said to his disciples he was going to prepare a place for them, and he was coming back to take them to be with him, that they would be with him always. Friends, our future is safe and secure as well. The disciples were worried what lay ahead, but Jesus confirmed their future. He assured them that they would be with him in heaven forever and forever. And that same assurance is there for each one of us, if we but trust him. We might look around and we might think, what is going to happen now? We might see recession in this country. We might think, how will I survive financially? We might look around and see all the struggles that people have with ill health. We might look at the cancers and the ugliness of them and think, what on earth is going to happen to me, for there's no cure yet. We might look around at the horrible and terrible disasters that strike this world. We see hurricanes battering the coast of America. We see widespread damage, and we think, what is going to happen? We see storms in this country. We see floods, and we see people struggling, and we think, will it happen to me? We might even look around at the terror that has hit this world as we see dictators like Mugabe or Saddam Hussein or Bin Laden himself. We see war and trouble hit different places, and we think, will it happen to me? And in all of this, we are fearful for our future. Will I be able to afford to bring up my kids? Will I escape life without terrible illness and disease? Will I avoid natural disaster and violent situations? Will I live? And into that situation, into that very situation, we should take courage and strength from the fact that the promise of heaven confirms my future. The promise of heaven confirms your future. If we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, then one day he is coming to take us to be with him in heaven. He is going to take us to be in his Father's house. He's going to give us a room. He's going to give us a mansion. He's going to give us a dwelling place there. And heaven is forever. And the book of Revelation reminds us of a city where there is no more tears and sorrow, no more mourning, no more pain, no more death. Heaven. Heaven is God's retirement plan for each one of us. My future is confirmed in Jesus and the promise of heaven. Take courage, my friends. The promise of heaven calms my fear and it confirms my future. And then Jesus moves on. In the midst of reminding the disciples of that, of calming their fears, of confirming their future, to say to them that the path to heaven is clear. In verse 4 he says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Well, he might have thought they knew the way where he was going, but it becomes apparently clear that in the midst of all that is going on, they simply do not. They are worried, they are fearful, they are confused about what Jesus has been saying about leaving them and dying. They are lost as far as betrayal and denial go. How on earth do we know the way, they wonder? And of course it's Thomas, that poor man that we often label as doubting Thomas, who asks that question that they've all been thinking of in verse 5. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? They are lost and they are unsure. And so Jesus goes on from the promises of heaven to say that the path to heaven is clear for them. In verse 6, those wonderful words that we know, those wonderful words that our kids have been singing about, those wonderful words that those kids remember and sing in the playground outside, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's clarified now for them. Jesus is the way. He is the one through whom they will get to heaven. And yet on this earth we see many people try and find a way to heaven and a way to God. They try every way imaginable. Shirley MacLaine, the actress that you may know of, do you know that she has claimed to be a channel to God? She claims that in a past life she was a monk, a Russian ballet dancer, a male court jester, her own daughter's daughter. How amusing is this? A harem dancer, a Brazilian voodoo practitioner, a Chinese Tai Chi artist, a prostitute, an Incan youth in Peru, and a Roman guard. She has gone on record so far as to say that those voices from the distant past have revealed to her that she is a god. How deluded do people get in this world as they try to find every way possible to God? Friends, the path to heaven is clear, it is sure, it is certain, and we don't need anyone else to tell us. Jesus has already done that. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the encouragement for the disciples and the encouragement for us as we're trusting Jesus as the only way, the only truth and the only life is that he will not let us down. The path to heaven is clear. There is no confusion. We don't need satellite navigation or a map. We don't need our own works or our own merits. We don't need anyone else. We simply need Jesus. The encouragement then for each one of us is to take the only way. But people still try so many other ways. Muhammad could brandish a sword. Buddha could give personal counsel. Confucius could offer wise sayings. But only Jesus. Only Jesus offers atonement for the sins of the world. Only Jesus shows the way to God. We get caught in political correctness sometimes, don't we? There are many ways, says the world today. We are to be tolerant. What nonsense. I'm sorry, friends. But Muhammad and Buddha, Bush and Brown, Tom and Jerry and whoever else cannot lead us to God. Only Jesus Christ can. Plato called his philosophy the royal way. Buddha claimed to have discovered the right path. Confucius called his teaching the way. Jesus' claims go beyond philosophies and they go beyond ways. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, I'll tell you a little bit about it. He simply said, I am the way. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to live on this earth. He showed us how to live our lives. He died on a cross to save us from our sins. He died paying the price which was yours and mine so that we could find the way back to God. He died that we might indeed have our sins forgiven and enter back into that right relationship with God the Father. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way for us to be saved from our sins. He is the only way to heaven. Friends, please take the only way. Don't get lost and confused trying to work out other ways and systems and methods. Simply come to Jesus. He is the only way. Jesus answered the question, how can I be saved? By saying, I am the way. He now answers the question, how can I be sure? By saying, I am the truth. Believe the truth. If we want to go in the right direction, we must believe the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. This claim goes beyond any idea of truth. Jesus didn't just tell truths, although he always did. He embodied the truth. Many truths can be conveyed with words only. Anyone can teach truths about love, about forgiveness, about humility, but only Jesus embodies those truths. His life is a life of love. His life was a life of forgiveness. His life was a life lived in humility. Jesus' whole life has been about living out the truths of Scripture. God is a God of love. So Jesus came and loved sinners. He showed his love by meeting with the down and outs of society and loving them. He showed his love by talking with the rich young ruler and pointing him towards heaven. He showed his love to the sick and the dying by healing them and by restoring them. He showed his love ultimately to each one of us by dying on a cross to save us from our sin. Jesus is the truth. Even as John records Jesus coming into the world, back at the beginning of his gospel, we pick up the truth theme. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, what? Full of grace and truth. A reminder in that verse of Jesus being the only way, for he is the one and only, but a reminder that as he came to earth and took on frail human flesh, that he came full of grace and full of truth. His whole life is truth. He is a living truth of God on earth. Can we trust everything Jesus says? Completely. He is truth. There is nothing false or untrue about him. He does not lie. He does not change. He is truth. Believe the truth. How can I be saved? Jesus is the way. How can I be sure? Jesus is the truth. How can I be satisfied? Jesus is the life. Live the life then. Jesus goes on to say to his disciples that the path to heaven is clear because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Going in the right direction means more than simple existence though. Many philosophies offer an existence style rather than a real lifestyle. Only Jesus gives life. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about following Jesus as a mere life style. I mean that he shapes our life and how we live it. He brings meaning to our life. He gives more than just breath that animates our bodies. He makes existence worthwhile. He fills life with meaning. So live the life. Jesus was calming his disciples' fears by assuring them of heaven. He was allowing them to go on with life after the events of the coming days will try and suck that very life out of them. He says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know how to get to where I am going? I am the way. You want to know what is true and right in this world? Then I am the truth. You want to enjoy life and live it to the full? Then I am the life. And in saying that he is the life, he is reminding them that he is the way not just to life, but to eternal life. Jesus has already said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and life in all of its fullness. He doesn't want them to simply have life as we know it with breath. He wants them to have life in all of its fullness, with all of its meaning. He wants them to enjoy the abundance and the joy of life. He wants them to live forever with him, live the life God intended. Friends, we are reminded this morning in these verses of the need to keep trusting Jesus. The disciples were worried and they were afraid. They were unsure and they were uncertain. So Jesus said, trust me. He gave them the promise of heaven, which calmed their fears and confirmed their future. He was going to his Father's side to prepare a place for them in heaven, and he was one day coming back for them to take them to be where he was. What a great promise for us as well. In the midst of fears, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of anxieties and struggles, the promise of heaven calms our fears as well. It also confirms our future. Life might look uncertain here on earth, but eternal life is confirmed and sure. Jesus dies that we might live. He ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us. He is coming back for us, friends. And should we be in any doubt how to get there, then the path to heaven is clear. Jesus is the only way. So the encouragement today is to take the only way, to believe the truth and to live the life. Trusting in Jesus is the only way, the only thing to do. Are you trusting in him today? Are you trusting in him for your future? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. That word that encourages, that word that strengthens, that word that builds us up. And Father God, we realize that there are struggles in this life. We have them all the time. We realize There are times when we're just so uncertain about what's going to happen because of the disaster all around us. But Father God, we thank you that you're in control. And more than that, Father God, we thank you that Jesus has given us the promise of heaven. And that promise calms our fear and confirms our future. We thank you that the path to heaven is clear. We thank you that the only way is by trusting in Jesus. And so we pray this morning, Father God, that you would help us always to be trusting in him. And Father God, I thank you that most of my brothers and sisters here believe in Jesus, are trusting in him, are living their lives for him. Father God, if there be any here this morning who don't know Jesus personally as Lord and as Saviour, who are maybe hearing this for the first time today, that Jesus is the only way, then Father God, this morning, allow the scales to drop from their eyes. Allow them to see the truth, to believe the truth, to live their lives and to follow Jesus as the only way. Help them to come to him this morning, to trust in him. Father God, move in power by your Spirit in this place. And Father God, we pray that you would indeed help us to keep trusting you in the good times and in the bad, knowing that in front of us lies the joys of heaven. There is a city that is in sight, and there will be no more sadness there. Father God, help us to keep trusting Jesus always, all the time. For we pray in his name. Amen.